Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Patrick Mahomes, touchdown! Kelce, and he leads and does, touchdown!
Clark Hunt is all in on Patrick Mahomes. And after all, he did sign him to a 10-year, $500 million contract. And in a radio appearance this week, Hunt compared Mahomes to the one and only Michael Jordan, saying, quote, "It's amazing the success that Patrick has had so early in his career. I mean, really, more so than Michael Jordan had early in his career. It took Michael a few years before he got his first championship, and Patrick, in year one, had us on the cusp of making the Super Bowl." So, Shannon, do you agree that Mahomes is off to a better start to his career than MJ?
Yeah, it's not even close in terms of their pro career, Skip. Mahomes is off to the best start that we've ever seen for a quarterback in his young career. You figure he won the MVP in the second season, his first season as a starter. He was Super Bowl MVP in his second season as a starter. He's made the Pro Bowl every single year. He's 25 wins and one loss in his last 26 games. And he's reached the AFC Championship game in all 3 years, and all three of them have been held in Kansas City. Jordan didn't have that level of team success, Skip. He was an outstanding player, but he didn't enjoy the level of team success. His team didn't win a playoff series until his fourth season, didn't reach the finals until his seventh season, didn't win his first MVP until his fourth season. So when you just look at it, Skip, when you just look at, okay, he did this, 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 and this, and Jordan was not thought of as the best player in year two or year three in the league, that was still went to Larry Bird or Magic Johnson. So for me, Skip, I don't think it's close. Now, we know what once Michael started winning MVPs, once Michael got through the champion, you know, won his first championship, we know what he became. But to start a career, Skip, I don't believe it's close. I don't believe a player in the NFL has had a season, a career in his first 3 years as a starter comparable to this young man. And I definitely don't think Mike had a career comparable to his.
Hmm. Shannon, you got to step back from this and say, what are you doing?
What?
This is a Lord have mercy. Help him, Lord. He knows not of what he speaks.
Only if he's lying. Did he tell a lie? Correct the lie, okay. And we can move forward.
This is difficult for me because I knew Clark Hunt when he was a little kid because I knew his mama and his daddy very well, and they're very special people, as you know.
Lamar
Hunt, mm-hmm. Norma's wife.
The AFC Championship trophy is named after him. He called the Super Bowl the Super Bowl.
And Clark is a good man, mm-hmm. who's right now stuck on a runaway train that is in danger of leaving the tracks. He just invoked the name, just unsolicited, of Michael Jeffrey Jordan and put Patrick in the same sentence with Jordan. You got to stop it. You got to give me a break, give us a break, and especially give Patrick a break. Because you don't need to go there. The comparison, I'm sorry, it is just so wrong. Because Jordan joined the worst team in the league. It was one of the worst. And it was it was just horrible for the first 3 years, and he kept it barely afloat until Scotty got there. At least he had some one credible teammate, and then they just took off in their fourth year and went 50-32 after three losing seasons. And in that second season, they went 30-52 because he missed just about the whole year,
right,
as you know, with a broken foot.
Right.
And he came back for the final month, played sparingly on a minutes count, and then he goes to Boston Garden and scores 63 on the Celtics, and Larry Bird said, I think it was God disguised as Michael Jordan. Well, that's who he was then. He was doing sensational things with no help. So now let's flip it over and look at what happened to Patrick Mahomes. It was rigged for him to be great out of the box because look what he inherited. You want to talk about a silver platter.
How many playoff games did Alex Smith win for Kansas City?
Okay, here's the point. With Alex Smith at quarterback in 2015, 2016, and 2017, here are the records. 11-5, 12-4, and 10-6. Mm-hmm. They did not win their playoff game. Mm. But guess what? Yeah, Here's an for you. Help me out. Travis Kelce made Pro Bowl teams all three of those years and made first team All-Pro one of those years. Mm-hmm. That's Travis Kelce. He was already there. He's playing at the supreme level that we see now already.
I didn't hear anybody.
Three Pro Bowls.
Skip. Everybody was talking about Gronk.
Tyreek was a rookie in 2016, so he played 2016 and 2017 without Patrick. And guess what he did? He made two Pro Bowls and made first team All Pro.
As what?
First team All Pro.
As what? You got to know. You got to tell the people what he made. What he made first team All Pro as? Mm. As a receiver or as a returner?
Shannon.
Oh, okay.
They were special already. Who is the best offensive mind in the game? It's obviously Andy Reid. Who handpicked Patrick Mahomes and said, I'm going to make you a star? It was Andy Reid. So when he made him sit for a year and watch for a year. And then he says, here, I'm going to hand you the keys. But you can drive, man. I know you're not quite of driving age, but I'm just going to give you the car. I'm going to give you the Ferrari, and you can just drive it all over the road because I don't really care.
Right.
But I want you to make me look special.
But, Skip, I thought you said playoffs is where it's at. You said they're these great regular season numbers, but you said you didn't care because that's what you ripped Peyton Manning for. Peyton Manning had these great stats. They had these great records, but come playoff times, he couldn't get it done, and you and others ripped him. Alex Smith had these great numbers. Come playoff times, even as he had an 18-point lead against the Tennessee Titans, he gagged it. He had He was up 21-24 against Indy, and Andrew Luck walked him down. So you keep telling me he was doing all these great things, but he didn't have playoff success. Now, all of a sudden, that kid goes there, and in the regular season, he's 38-8.
You know what? You got me. Patrick Mahomes is better than Alex Smith. You got me on that one. Mm-hmm. I will give you that.
Skip, all Clark Hunt said, if you look at the first 4 years...
Why would you even bring up the name?
Why not?
Because you're saying he's going to be better than Michael Jordan. That's where you're
heading. That ain't what he said.
That's the suggestion, implication.
No, ain't no implication. No, Skip. If you let me, I'm going to tell you exactly what I want to say. I don't want you to infer anything from what I said. I told you what I said. If you look at the first 4 years of their career, Patrick Mahomes has had a better start to his career than Michael Jordan. Don't infer anything else after that. That's it.
People were watching Jordan saying, we've never seen anything like
what this. What you think they said about him? You just said they already said he to go.
Okay, I want you on the record right now. Is he going to have a better career than Michael Jordan?
No, because that's not what Clark Hunt said. No. Clark Hunt said he had a better start to his career than Michael Jordan. He didn't say he's going to have a better career. Mm. You see what you tried to do?
Mm-mm. It's also disrespectful to the quarterback on the other sideline on Sunday night because that quarterback, in his first year starting, went 11-3 in the regular season, and he inherited, guess what, a team that went 5-11 the year before and was 0-2 when he fell out of heaven into Belichick's lap after Drew Bledsoe got hurt.
Right.
And he went 11-3 the rest of the way, and he won the Tuck Rule game. I'll be the first to tell you, he shouldn't have won it.
If you don't mind me asking, Skip, in the next year, after they won the Super Bowl, what happened the next year?
Well, I'm not finished yet, because in the Tuck Rule game, he threw for 238 yards, did Tom Brady, in the second half in a driving snow. Nobody noticed because it was unspectacularly spectacular.
Well, first of all, anything that happened after the tuck, after you get a reprieve like that, nothing else should matter. Mm. It should have thrown for another yard. Mm. The game should have ended.
Okay.
You
know that. I know that. Okay. But you still ain't told the people what happened after 2001.
Okay, but no. And then he goes to the Super Bowl against the greatest show on turf. John Madden's up in the TV booth at the end of the game saying, you know what, you got to shut it down. Take this kid out of harm's way. And to Belichick's credit, he said, man, let him throw.
Right.
And he threw through three. He makes five straight completions. Second to last was for 23 yards to Troy Brown to set up that was a 54-yard field goal. And then he throws six more yards to David Patton, and it sets up a 48-yard field goal, and they win the game. The first game-winning drive to win a ring by Tom Brady, he's the MVP of the game. And in his third year, he's the MVP of a shootout Super Bowl against Carolina. And we're saying, this kid's had a better start to his career.
Actually, Skip, that was his fourth year, because in 2002, they missed the playoffs. They were 8-8.
No, but I'm saying in his third year starting.
Yeah, year starting. But let me ask you a question. In those first 4 years for Tom Brady, who said Tom Brady was the best player, the best quarterback in the game?
Nobody ever does. Nobody ever has. He's the most underappreciated player in the history of this league.
There was a time that people said Tom Brady is the best quarterback. But none of that was in the first 4 years of his career. He didn't win an MVP until the eighth year of his career.
Okay, what if I told you all along? There's no wow factor. He does not sell because he is textbook precision clutch. He's long drive clutch. He's almost clutch beyond the naked eye. It's hard to process just how beautifully he's playing the game of football, but he doesn't have that kid's wow factor. He doesn't throw no looks. He doesn't throw it behind the back or between the legs or left-handed. Nope. He just completes passes.
So what does he do? I mean, you may see the thing is with Skip, you make it seem like he's all show, he's all flash with no substance.
No, there's
yes,
a lot.
Yes, he's frosting, but it's a damn good cake up underneath that frosting. Mm-hmm. Don't pretend like he can't play and he's just throwing no looks. I ain't gonna let you do that.
Okay, but in the first 3 years of starting, I'll take Brady. Man, how do you top that?
Easy. How about Skip? Your guy won Super Bowl MVP throwing for 140 yards. Mm. 140.
Well, then he won at throwing for, what was it, like 340 against Carolina?
That guy had more touchdowns in his first year of starting than Brady did in his first 2 years of starting.
Mm. Game's different. Andy Reid is different.
It wasn't different for Peyton Manning. Yeah. Peyton Manning, let Peyton Manning throw the ball. Why?
Okay, remember, Tom Brady was having to win in spite of a defensive head coach named Bill Belichick.
Yeah. You know good and well Tom Brady could not do the thing this early in his career like this kid. Don't do that.
No, I disagree with that. When you pull off against the I covered those Raiders. They were better than the Patriots that year, and he beat them. He got one great break on one play, but he beat them. He outplayed Rich Gannon. He just did.
Skip,
you're not giving him a credit,
Skip,
and I love it.
Skip.
Underappreciated.
Skip. That's like saying, I started this great business, but I got a $50 million loan from someone. Mm. Really? You started it?
What are you talking about?
He got that one break. The break was everything.
I mean, he's the one who got the $50 million loan. He got Kelce and Tyreek. Pro bowlers. Yeah. Perennial pro bowlers. Thank you, God.
So they had no pro bowlers on the Patriots.
Go look how many pro bowlers Tom Brady had in his first 3 years of starting. Go look.
How many on defense?
I dare you to go
look. How many on defense?
I'm talking about offensive weapons. He had Troy Brown his first year, and that was it.
They were
next
a defense.
Next 2 years, they had zero pro bowlers on offense.
They were a defensive team.
Oh. Well, right. Go look at the numbers he put up against Carolina. Go look.
This game has everything. It has every storyline. We've hit so many of them.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. No
mercy. Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. No mercy. And I
won't back down. 20 years as a New England Patriot. What a ride it's been for Tom Brady.
Patriots have won. Unbelievable.
For the third time in the last 4 years, the Patriots celebrate winning the Lombardi Trophy.
The New England Patriots are the NFL champions.
Brady has his fifth.
Enjoy it, folks. You're never, ever going to see it again. Not in our lifetime.
Well, there are few quarterbacks in NFL history who've minimized sacks as much as Brady and Mahomes. Of all active QBs in the league, Mahomes has the best career sack percentage, while Brady is third. And Frank Clark had some interesting praise for Brady's elusiveness. So listen up, guys. This is what he said. He's got these shoulders. Have you ever seen Tom Brady's shoulders when he's in that pocket? His shoulders are crazy sometimes. Man, to be able to move his shoulders like that, playing in the league for 20, 30-some years, for him to be able to move his shoulders like that still is quite amazing. It's nothing against him, but he's not an escape artist. But it's like, honestly, sometimes he's just as good as Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson is the best. And you watch Tom Brady in that pocket, man, and sometimes you can't tell the difference. You can't. Mike, are Tom Brady's shoulder movements an underrated ability of his to avoid these sacks?
You know what, Jenny, I don't think it's underrated. I think it's evident. We've seen it all season long, and the biggest reason why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have had the success that they've had down the stretch after the Chicago game was because of Tom Brady and his movement in the pocket. And, you know, he's just not slide. He's moving with conviction. You know, he's pushing up. He's pushing out. You know, he's putting himself in a position where he can keep his eyes downfield and not feeling under duress and not panicking. And sometimes improv is not just getting outside of the pocket or pushing up and scrambling to your right. It's the subtle movements that, you know, we have to practice numerously. And, you know, on a lot of different occasions, you know, when you do it, you become comfortable with it. And then it shows up in the game. Being in the pocket is just a natural instinct. You know, we have our eyes downfield and we're not paying attention to the pass rush. So it's something that we constantly have to work on. And when I look at these clips and I see, you know, Tom moving around, you know, around blocking dummies and doing cone drills. Those are things that I didn't do in year 11, 12, and 13. And Tom is showing not only us, but the young quarterbacks, the next generation, how important those things are. And they need to be taking it, paying attention to it. So, you know, it's not surprising that Tom is in this game. I've seen him move with conviction, you know, down the stretch. And it's the biggest reason why he's been able to find his receivers and the offense is clicking, because, you know, he's buying that extra time that he didn't have in the first five or six games of the season, and it's paying off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. You see Tom, he does a great job of climbing in the pocket. Skip, he does a great job of holding the ball. And what he has is a sense that somebody's about to swipe, and he'll do this.
He does.
Or he'll do that.
Yep.
And but he keeps the ball here. So as soon as he does this, he's ready to throw the ball. So, okay, now I can do this. And the really good ones, like Mike says, they sense it. They feel it. He knows somebody's coming. It's amazing that he knows somebody's trying to come with the chop and get the ball out, Skip. And he'll roll his shoulder like this. And he's like, I got nothing. And now he comes up and he throws a dart to someone. And so
Frank Clark said that Chris Jones thought he had him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's just swiping it air because he shoulder shimmied him.
Yes.
Right?
That's exactly right. Yes. It's
what?
But Skip, unless you're a real football aficionado, you're not really paying attention like that. You're looking at guys that's getting outside the pocket and they're throwing the ball down the field, but it's the little subtleties. I'm not surprised that Patrick Mahomes has one of the better sack rate percentages because Patrick Mahomes is mobile. Well, he can get outside of harm's way. But when you look
he's underrated mobile.
Right.
I agree.
But when you look at Tom Brady, who's moved less than the Statue of Liberty in 250 years,
right,
and he has a low sack rate, you're like, wait a minute. But Dan Marino was like that too, Skip. It was just the little thing. He turned him, ball's gone. Mm. So Tom has done a great job of that, and it's all about, that's how you survive in this league, Skip. And he knows Tom ain't taking no hit. Skip, if you saw early in the game against Green Bay, they got it. He's like, I'm going down.
Thank you very much.
It'll be second and 15, but you're not finna get no big shot on me.
Nope. So here's what's amazing about this conversation to me. I have the privilege of sitting here across from a Hall of Famer in Shannon Sharp, and I also have the privilege of speaking down the barrel of the camera to one Michael Vick, who is simply the most spectacular quarterback who ever played professional football. He was the most dangerous, exciting, open field runner I have ever seen. That's just me. And by the way, Michael Vick had a much stronger arm than Tom Brady has. Yeah. That's just me. Yet, here we are, we're trying to delve the deepest into Tom Brady's greatness, and we have to focus on his shoulder shimmies because his spectacular is so subtle that it boils down to that. I've always defended Brady saying he's got some of the sweetest pocket feet I've ever seen because it is. It's innate. It's sixth sense. I feel the rush, and I have to slide step here just to give me a split second more before I deliver the ball there.
Right.
Well, it's hard, man, and it's underrated because to the untrained eye, it just comes and goes.
Right.
You can't grasp it until you see the final score on the scoreboard. That's the only way you can appreciate what the guy is doing. But this sums up Brady's subtle greatness to me. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
No looks, no left-handed, no behind the back, no between the legs. He just keeps operating subtly in the pocket and delivering accurate passes, very catchably, down the field, under pressure in the biggest moments. So, Michael, jump back in. How hard is it for you to appreciate Brady's greatness knowing you came from the flip side of Tom Brady?
Yeah, let me just say this first, Skip. Here's what validates what Frank Clark said. And, you know, when I'm thinking about Tom Brady and his pocket presence and the things that he's been able to do, you watch Tom early in the season. I seen Tom flinching a lot in the pocket. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, oh, my God, Tom's getting old. Tom's not comfortable in the pocket. You know, you're seeing ghosts. And it's a joke in the quarterback world. If you watch a film and you see a guy seeing ghosts flinching in the pocket. You know, it wasn't funny when I was watching Tom. I'm like, damn, my man just getting older. He's not really feeling it. 3 to 4 weeks later, he's a totally different quarterback. Confident. Pushing in the pocket, pushing strong, you know, just the sixth sense was there. And, you know, from him to go from, you know, struggling in the beginning of the year with that ailment and then finding a way to fix it just solidifies why he's the GOAT and the greatest of all time. When you can go from, you know, getting yourself out of danger, getting yourself out of duress to being focused and confident in a clean pocket and being sturdy and confident, it solidifies why he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And these young quarterbacks coming up, I'll say it again, I reiterate it, they should feel so privileged to be able to watch film on guys like Brady and Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers because they do it at a high level and they do it with meaning, with a meaning.
When you look at guys that have had great longevity, regardless of the sport, if you just rely on athleticism, as the athleticism starts to wane, so will your career. Tom Brady has never been athletic, Skip, so he had to rely on technique. That's why technicians can stay longer in a given sport than guys that are just pure athletes.
Yep.
You look at Tom. Tom is 21 years, but he's never relied on speed. Mm-hmm. He's never relied on size. He's never relied on strength. It's the subtleties of the game. You look at Jerry. Jerry was able to play as long as he was because he wasn't just speed. Because so once you take that speed away, what can you do? So Jerry relied on technique. He could get in and out of breaks. He could decelerate, accelerate again, where it wasn't just he running 4-2. So he was able to play long periods of time.
Yep.
Larry Fitzgerald, you look at guys that play long periods of time,
that's true.
They're not just athletic. They're also technicians. So that's what I tell guys. Work on your technique, because I promise you, you might come in running 4-3. There's a great likelihood you're not going to leave running 4-3. It's the subtleties. It was the little head movements, the shoulder movements that kept me at still being able to get run routes in year 14, Skip, and get open and catch some touchdowns. So what Brady's been able to do, when you see him going through those dummies, Skip, those are offensive linemen that he's maneuvering through. But he also knows, I got to protect the ball, because they might be engaged with a defensive lineman, and they're going to try to get the ball out.
Yep.
He's mastered that. He has a sense to know what's around him. Oh, I'm coming in between these linemen. They're probably blocking somebody. Let me protect this ball.
Yep.
Very few times do you see him get the ball out of Tom in a situation like that.
Okay. So, to me, bottom line, given that most people believe Tom Brady is the GOAT, he's also got to be the greatest overachiever, to me, in sports history, given that status, because he's not supremely gifted.
He
in
don't
any
run
way,
fast.
Shape,
he don't jump
no.
high. He's not strong.
He's got a little above average arm, but he doesn't have a huge arm.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
he gets the most that he can get out of it.
Well, we know he's the slowest quarterback.
Right?
The quarterbacks are running, he's the slowest boy right now, Skip.
Well, you saw that 40 he ran at the combine.
He's the slowest quarterback ever.
Okay. And yet, what did he say? And you thought it was a joke, I think. But he said yesterday, this offseason, I'm going to work on my speed.
It ain't happening. First of all, his shoes too heavy. He wear high-top shoes. You ain't running fast with no high-tops on.
Nope. Message to all the young quarterbacks coming up. If you don't want to get joked, don't see ghosts. Work on your pocket
point.
Such a good point. Mike, it has been such a pleasure all season to have you with us. We appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the game, and good luck.
Good
if you're
pleasure.
Rooting for the Chiefs, we'll have to see how it plays out on Monday.
No mercy.
New tracks, new teams, and a new champ. The 2021 NASCAR season starts in just 9 days with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, February 14th, only on Fox. Out this. All right, we need to talk a little bit more about the Lakers last night. I told you guys Snoop would be joining us very soon, but in just a couple minutes, Shannon, this is your opportunity to tell us a little bit more about the Lakers last night. What we saw from LeBron, his performance, and of course, Miss Trip Dub, who paid a visit.
Wait, I've already heard enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm done.
You're done. You're done with this trip, though, Skip. I'm looking at the Lakers, and I see they're 17-6, which is, I think, they're tied for the best record with the Clippers overall record in the NBA. But I don't think they're a better team, at least not yet. Now, I think they're different. I think they're deeper, but I don't think they're better. AD scoring is down 4 points per game. They lose a lot of rebounding and shot blocking with JaVale no longer being there and Dwight Howard not being there. But the defensive rating, they're better defensively, number one, as opposed to number three. But, Skip, they were 20-3 last year at this time. Mm. And so Marc Gasol's got to give us something. I know you told us. You told me he was like an iceberg. Mm-hmm. He's very slow. Yep. He got to go get from point A to point B in a hurry. But, Skip, he's got to give us more than what he's given us. Mm. 2 points, 4 or 5 fouls on a nightly basis. That's not nearly good enough considering what JaVale and Dwight gave us on a nightly basis.
I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk. I would rather hear Snoop talk. Are we close?
Oh, you know what? You know,
they go back next year.
The one, the only Lakers super fan, of course, our good friend Snoop is joining us. He just wanted to give us a little bit to wait for right now. Snoop, I know that you watched the Lakers last night. You saw what LeBron did. Are the Lakers even better than they were last year?
It's kind of hard to say that we better than we were last year, because last year we won a championship.
Right.
So I think we just in the stages as far as getting to know each other. You remember that song, Getting to Know You?
Yes.
Getting to Know About You. We're trying to learn our team right now. Like he said, Gasol moving a little bit slow. We missing Dwight and JaVale with the height as far as the height and being able to make people, you know, stay outside. But I just feel like we're going to be all right. LeBron don't never put a team together that don't come through. I feel like he got all of the right pieces. I like Schroeder. I like the way that Kuzma's playing, Caruso. I just like the way the team feel right now, and I feel like they're going to...
Kuzma playing well. I love what I saw from Kuzma last night. I think Snoop, finally he realized that, you know what? I can impact the game in other ways than just scoring. I can rebound the ball. I can play defense. He had like 3 or 4 block shots. I can set good quality screens. I just don't need to just score the basketball to have an impact on the game. And what I've seen over the last 4 or 5 games, the Lakers can win with that.
Right. I think he's mentally sharp now. Before, he was just, you know, shooting and trying to figure it out. Now he's understanding the mental, you know, capacity that you have to win a championship. And I feel like LeBron has taught them that as far as like playing your role. Even when LeBron won his first championship, he had to come in playing a role. You understand what I'm saying? So it's role playing, and he learned how to become a leader.
Hmm. Snoop, I'm a little surprised. You've dialed it down a little bit about the Lakers. I'm impressed. I was very impressed with the way they played in the second half last night, but I'm impressed that you're just going slow but sure. You think they have some growing to do.
I think last year was harder for us to win, if you really want to look at it, because, you know, it was stacked against us last year. This year, I feel like the East got more to offer. You know what I'm saying? Last year was West heavy. This year, it's like it's kind of like distributed evenly. And then you're watching Golden State. They doing their thing without Clay. You're watching the Nets do their thing. You're watching the Sixers. You're just watching a couple of teams that's, you know, that could possibly shake up something. But you can't sleep on the Heat. You can't sleep on the Bucks. You can't sleep on a few teams. But it's still early. Mm. And, you know, it may be some trades. It may be some injuries. It may be some things that happen. That's why I'm like, I'm patient. And I understand that we playing for this right here, man. It's all about getting this. You understand me?
Hey, nephew, I know who we not worried about. I know who we not worried about.
Well, it sounds like he's sleeping on that team. You mean that team that stays in the basement at Staples?
Yeah, them. The sleepers. I mean the Clippers.
What do you see in the Clippers? You don't think they're improved this year?
No, I'm not going to lie. They look damn good. Paul George looks amazing. I can't even front. They look amazing. But I'm waiting for the playoff because they seem to have a great regular season all the time, but just can't seem to get over the hump. So it's all about playoff into the Western Conference Final. It's about them championship or bust, and that should be their gameplay. And I respect the players over there, the owners, the coaches, the whole nine. I'm a Laker fan diehard, but if you want to win a championship, it's got to be championship or bust right now for the Clippers, because if they don't get it now, they're not going to never get it.
Mm. So before we leave the Lakers behind, how much are you missing Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee in the middle of that, especially that defense?
Actually, I do miss them, Skip, because they did create a lot of havoc as far as making people readjust their thoughts and, you know, come in with a different perspective. But I feel like it's a new dimension that you're dealing with now. Last year, you had to scheme to those guys. Now you got to scheme to this. So I like the way that we mixing and matching. And I wish JaVale and Dwight a lot of success, and Rondo, for what they did for us last year, and Danny Green. We congratulate y'all. Thank y'all.
Mm-hmm. But we got Trez now. We got THT. THT a baller. Nephew, you see him getting that thing. Still, hey, all the only reason he playing, he a clutch class. No, he clutch.
They said it. Yes, when they give you three letters, when they first start calling me D-O-G, when they put three letters on you, man, you special when they give
you
three.
Okay, you like that then. Okay, that's what I like to hear.
I love that. I love him, man, because he's silent. You know, he don't do no talking, no. Yeah, I ain't never seen him do an interview.
Nah, but he just a straight ball of straight energy.
Well, I want to know how much either of you guys love your new center who spells his name M-A-R-C, as in Gasol, Mark Gasol.
Hey, see, let me tell you about that, Skip. All that was to get Paul back. Bring in Mark later on in the season. Tell your brother, come on back. Let's double down. Gasol brothers, y'all get y'all championship together. Hello.
Hey, I think his brother, what is he, 40 now? I think his brother would be better than Mark would be at 36.
Yeah, yeah, Mark.
He's got the Mamba mentality. Remember, his brother played with Mamba. Mamba brought the best out of Paul.
Oh, did he?
Well, who going to get the breast out of his baby brother, Mark? Because you don't normally, when somebody call you a Mark, that's not a good thing.
He's going to be all right. He got him a ship. He know what it feel like to win one. He come through in the clutch. I think his threes and his D's going to come together when we need it most. Right now, we just need him to fill out where he's supposed to be and bring more to the table, be more productive on the offensive end and the defensive end. I think we're going to be all right with him.
Okay, so, Snoop, if you guys do get through the watered-down West, which most people think you will, how much do you fear what's happening in Brooklyn right now?
No fear at all, because it's a team basketball game. At the end of the day, it's about the team that gels the best. The team's got the best bench. The team's got the best coaching. And sometimes you got to have a little bit of luck in there as well. So I feel like we're going to be all right. And the matchup will break down to LeBron versus KD, or either LeBron versus Kyrie, or AD versus KD. That's great basketball at its highest level to see that, you know, some of the top tier players going head up for that championship. Like once upon a time when we watched Golden State go up against, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, that was some great basketball, championship basketball. So I look forward to a great championship from both sides, the East and the West.
If the Lakers and the Nets match up, you'd have to go back to find a matchup like this. You got to go back to the Lakers and Celtics when Kareem, Magic, Worthy was going against Bird, Parrish, and McHale.
Yep.
To have that kind of firepower, Skip, mm-hmm. on both sides of the equation. When you got four all-stars, basically three, four all-stars on both teams. I don't know if we've ever seen it, and we might not see it again if we don't get that matchup this.
But the Nets would have more offensive firepower.
Oh, no question.
And
no
the
question.
Lakers would clearly have more defensive firepower.
Yeah, we've never seen an offensive firepower like what Brooklyn got, Snoop.
Never.
The Brooklyn thing is they got them all on the court at the same time, see? And that's the problem. If I was a coach, I would come to somebody and say, egotistically, somebody got to sit down because we want to be better when that bench come in so we can break it down just a little bit. Like all of that three at the same time on the court, that's cool, but it's going to become a certain time where it's like, I want the ball. Well, I want the ball. I need the ball. Well, what's happening? That ain't happened yet. That's going to happen.
Well, that's where you got to take advantage of them is because when they're benched, because they don't have any depth. They don't have offensive firepower since they lost Caris LeVert. They traded him. Dinwiddie is out. So they don't have the offensive firepower once one or two of those guys leave. But what they try to do is always keep at least one of them on the court at all time. Because at any given moment, any one of those guys can go get you 20, 30 in a quarter. Mm. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.